Church family, amen. Let's take our Bibles, turn to the book of James, amen. Book of James, and does everybody have a lesson sheet? Is there anyone that does not have a lesson sheet? Amen. We've got them out there if you like one. I think everybody's got one, amen. It should be enough to go around. We print the first 50 or so for free. After that, we charge, amen. And so you got to get here quick, amen. James chapter 4, we're going to read the last five verses of James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. And once you find your place there, James chapter 4, the title of our lesson tonight is, If the Lord Will. If the Lord Will. And so let's stand out of respect to God's Word. If you're physically able, if you're not, don't you worry about that, okay? We're going to read God's Word together, verses 13 through 17 of James chapter 4. And as is our custom, we'll read responsively. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. Would you read the two even-numbered verses with me through verse 17? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, If the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. What a tremendous verse number 17 is. How many of you know verse 17? Maybe you memorized it a long time ago. Amen. It's a convicting verse. It says, Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this gathering. Lord, how I thank you for the midweek service. Thank you for all our laborers in our Truth Trackers program, teaching the children the verses. And Lord, just by their example, Lord, I think of our Sunday school teachers and, Lord, just people that invest, our bus workers and, Lord, all our helpers, Lord, that care about kids, church kids, bus kids, they just care about kids. I thank you for them tonight. I pray that you bless. Lord, bless our time in the Word. Would you please teach us tonight? Draw us closer to yourself, Lord. Enlighten our hearts with truth and give us hearts to obey it. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all that you give. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In our last lesson, almost a month ago, amen, we had speakers on Wednesday nights, of course, while I was gone. In our last lesson, so you have a blank line there, in our last lesson, we looked at the verses preceding here. We looked at, first bullet point here, the prohibition against evil speech. It says very simply and very succinctly in verse number 11, Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. Boy, I'll tell you what, if we would just heed that advice as Christians, amen, amen, amen. Let every man be slow to speak, swift to hear, slow to wrath, amen, James chapter 1 tells us. So, the prohibition against evil speech. And then in verses 11 and 12, we learn about the caution against an elevated status. The caution against an elevated status. It talks about there, that we're in verse, the end of verse 11, it says, He that speaketh evil of his brother judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, he that judgeth the law. But if thou art a judge of the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. We've taken on a status that's not ours. When we become a judge of the law, when we are constantly and critically judging our brother and sister, you know, you'll have people, they'll justify that and they'll rationalize that. Listen, there are times, ladies and gentlemen, where the church has to exercise judgment and discernment. Amen? We're not talking about this philosophy now, this antinomianism philosophy of Jude 4 that says, no, you never judge, you can never make judgment. That's false. Amen? Jesus told us to judge righteous judgment. Amen. But this is different. This is a critical spirit where we start to play God checking people's motives and all that. And God says, no, you put yourself in an elevated status there. So the prohibition, the caution, and then the recognition of an exclusive sovereign. Verse 12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judge another? Basically, that verse is saying, who do you think you are? That's God's job. That's God's job. Amen. You can go back to Romans chapter 14 where it talks about when we judge our brother and we set him at naught. It's not good because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And listen, then God's righteous judgment will take place. Amen. So we move here. This was the lesson against an untamed tongue before. But the Holy Spirit, you have your blank line there. The Holy Spirit shifts His focus to the sin of presumption. The sin of presumption. It's a sin that's not preached on a lot, but it's a sin that's committed a lot. The sin of presumption. You say, well, what really is that, Pastor? We're going to look at it here in these verses. What we have, number one, in verse 13, we have the calling to attention. Blank line there. The calling to attention. The phrase, go to now, is used only here and in chapter 5, verse 1. You have a blank line there. You can put 5:1 there. It starts with, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. It's only used here and in chapter 5, verse 1 in the entire New Testament. Just this little phrase. It's only used twice. And it carries the idea of calling those being addressed to pay particular attention. Go to now. If we were in junior church, I could tell you how we would say go to now. Hey. Amen. Hey. What you're trying to tell me? I've got something important to say. Pay attention. Hey, right here, eyes on me. I used to do junior church, I always did this. If you're talking, you're not listening. And if you're not trying to get their attention, amen. And James does that here with us as readers. He's calling us to attention. He's saying, the Holy Spirit here is saying, I've got something very important for you to say, or for you to understand. So we see the calling to attention. But then we see the condemnation of exclusion in verse 13. The condemnation of exclusion. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there and buy and sell and get gain. Okay? A there on your sheet, A, preparation is commended. If you look at the verses there we have in Proverbs, it talks about how God says, I think in there in verse chapter 30, He says, there are four things that be small, but they are exceeding wise. And He starts off with the ants. And He talks about how the ants prepare their meat in the summer. God's not against preparing. Amen. God's not against preparing for a rainy day. God's not against saving. God's not against doing and preparing as we go along through. He's not against that at all. That's not what's being condemned here. Not preparation, but presumption is criticized. In verse 13, these that are saying, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and we'll continue there, we'll buy and sell. They're presuming without God. And we have a reference there that I know many of you will recognize. And I hope maybe when you get home you'll take and you can look up some of these cross references. But remember the man in Luke chapter 12 who God blessed and his fields brought forth abundantly? And he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And I'm going to do this. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required. Why? Because he did all that without God. He did all. And listen, folks, Christians, God's people in this room, if we're not careful, listen to your pastor now. If we're not careful, we can do a lot of things without involving God.
That's right.
We can. We can do lots of things. We can even be busy in God's activity without really involving God. Say, how do you know, Pastor? Because I've done it. I know I have. I'm just going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And wait a minute. God said, boy, why don't you involve me? Why don't you involve me? Things go a lot better when we involve God. A lot more gets done for all eternity. So this here is the condemnation of exclusion, excluding God. Preparation is commended. Presumption is criticized. I have a great quote here from an excellent writer, Lehman Strauss. He said, "The men in our verse are engaged in a dangerous practice. They are looking at tomorrow, nay more, they are looking a year ahead, omitting God completely. Herein layeth the sin." Herein layeth the sin. And this brings us to our next verse in verse 14. A very familiar verse. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." So here's these men, they're saying, hey, look, we're going to go today, tomorrow, a year from now, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. God says, hold on a second. "You know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor." I love the sign language word for vapor. It's this. Here and gone. Hey, I can't cook. If my wife, listen, if my wife ever left me, I'd starve to death. But I'll tell you one thing I can cook. I can cook macaroni and cheese. Not the kind you put in the oven, which is the really good kind, by the way. I'm talking about the bless God 59-cent kind. Amen? And I've watched as you boil that water up and you boil that water and the steam comes. And Brother Howard, as soon as you take the burner off, as soon as you cut the burner, that vapor goes away. That's what God says. That's what our life is like. It's just a vapor. So the next slide, number three there, we have number one, the calling to attention. Number two, the condemnation of exclusion. Number three, the cloud of smoke. The cloud of smoke. God saying, hey, don't exclude me. You don't know how short your life is. I remember within a year's period of time, my pastor's son that's going to be here next week passed away at 18 years old. Now, we joke sometimes about middle age. My pastor's joking to me about my beard. He said, boy, what's with all the gray in there? I said, be quiet, amen. Middle age for my pastor's son was 9. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." What is your life? None of us are promised tomorrow. There's a verse in there, Proverbs 27:1. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Within a year's time, my dear lady that I work with, she was the vice president of our company, her little son, who was her everything, died in a freak car accident. Just a sideswipe bump, ruptured his spleen, 9 years old. Middle age for him was 4.5. And I know others that have lost children in this room. You never thought that would be... Listen, God is cautioning us here. Our life is just a vapor. Blank line there. The length of our life is so brief and in God's hands. You know what He's asking here? Please involve me in it. Please involve me in it. Amen. You don't know how much time you have. Number four, verse 15. "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Number four is the consideration of God. The consideration of God. You look up those two, we have a couple cross references there, Acts 18:21 and 1 Corinthians 4:19. In both of those verses, Paul says, "I want to come to you if the Lord will." You know what? We're going to have a revival meeting next week, Lord willing.
Amen. Amen.
By the way, I'd be willing if he wanted to rapture us.
That's right. Amen. Let's go.
I told Pastor Donald how he can wrap everything up. Amen. After the rapture. Amen. No. Lord willing. Mm-hmm. You know what? I want to take my family on vacation next year, some of you might say. Lord willing.
Yeah.
It's a great way to preface things that we think we want to do. Lord willing. You're saying, Lord, if you're willing. You're involving the Lord. You're considering the Lord in your decisions. And oh, how important that is. We're not our own, church. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to the Lord. So we should certainly consider Him in the decisions that we make. The consideration of God, blank line there. The fact of the uncertainty of life and God's ultimate control should move us to consider His will for our lives. God, is this Your will? Are You pleased with this? Give me direction. I want to do this. And the greatest example of that we have is our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, if Thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done.
Amen.
Consideration of God. Number five, we see the carnality of boasting in verse 16. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing as evil. Not only were these leaving God completely out of their lives, their decisions, amen, but they were bragging about it. Such can never succeed. And true success is not in the world's eyes, it's in God's eyes. Amen. Being faithful to His commands. And so there we see the carnality of boasting here. They were boasting about it, and James said, it's not good. So number one, the calling to attention. Number two, the condemnation of exclusion. Number three, the cloud of smoke. Number four, the consideration of God. Number five, the carnality of boasting. And then lastly, number six, the charge of neglect. The charge of neglect. And can I say this? And in particular, the charge of neglect here, in the context of the Scripture, is leaving God out of our decisions. Leaving God out of the process of things. And can I say that? There's a lot of God's will that's revealed right here in His Word. It's God's will to read your Bible. It's God's will to pray. It's God's will to witness. It's God's will to gather together with other believers. Absolutely God's will. It's God's will to be thankful in all things. So many things are obviously God's will. But not involving Him through prayer, through counsel, through reading and heeding His Word is a sin of omission. It's a sin of omission. So the charge of neglect there is verse 17. It says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I have a note here underneath there, last blank line. Not all sins are by commission. Many are by omission. You know, when I think of, in the Old Testament, I think of a passage that relates to this. I think of the passage in Ezekiel, where God says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman. And He said, when the wicked cometh, your job is to warn that wicked one. He said, but if you fail to warn him, his blood will I require. I heard a young preacher one time preach one of the most tremendous messages I ever heard. He said at the judgment seat, caught red-handed.
Yep.
Caught red-handed. You know what that is? That's a sin of omission. Not warning. It's not that we're saying that stealing is a sin. Amen? It's a sin of commission. Adultery is a sin. Absolutely, it's a sin of commission. But there's a lot of sins in our lives that we have to ask God forgiveness for, that we just simply know they're the right things to do, but we don't do them. Now you think about that. By the way, to that person, you know, that believes in perfect sanctification, I'll take them to that verse right there any day of the week. I'll say, how many people did you witness to today? Well, none. Well, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen. We know we're supposed to witness. Amen. Here, it's talking about leaving God out of our plans. Let's not do that, folks. Let's involve God in all our plans. Hey, He's our Savior. He saved us from all our sin, did He not? Amen? Well, we ought to involve Him. We ought to say, oh, no, not tomorrow I'm going to go do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it all without God. No, God, would You please help me and bless me? Think of people like Uncle Joe in our church that owns a business. So important, Unc, and I know you do. Ask God to help you. Bless that. I don't want to just take on a job. I think of us as a church. We don't want to just... I heard one of our brothers pray. He said, God, give us a healthy body. A healthy body is more important than a big body.
Right.
Amen. Now listen, I'm for a big healthy body. Yeah. Amen. You can have both. Amen. At least I hope you can have both, because I'm big for sure. Amen. I'm talking, of course, about the church body. But boy, we want to put God in those decisions. You know, our deacons' meetings, we always open in prayer. We want to put God in those decisions. We don't want to leave God out and just say, well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to do... No. If the Lord will.
Yep, perfect.
If the Lord will. Lord willing. Amen. Lord willing. Father, thank You for this time and the Word tonight. Lord, this is such a profitable book of the Bible. James is, Lord, it teaches us so much. I pray that You'd help us, Lord, as we think of, Lord, how You want to bless us and You want to lead us. You want to, Lord, but sometimes we just... Satan is the master distractor. And he helps us to think we can just do this or that and not involve You. Oh, Lord, help us, please. Help us to turn to You, Lord, to involve You in the decisions we make, to ask You. Lord, I think about the kings in the Old Testament, Lord, that before they went into battle, they would inquire of the Lord. Oh, help us to do that in all areas of our life, Lord. So many places we could say amen to those sins of omission. Help it, Lord. Help us not to leave You out of these decisions. We love You. Thank You for Your blessing. Thank You for Your Word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. How about page 546, ladies? Amen.